Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so this is a song that was brought about in the 1980s to bring pride and show everybody how great we are in Buffalo after everything I just talked about with what was going on in the 70s. Talking Proud, all right? Thank you very much. Listen to this. Here we go. Keep it going. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Wake up to the spirit. It will astound you when you see and hear it.
It's actually kind of catchy now.
The people of Buffalo,
they had the whammies and the whammy weenie, they used to call it. Go look it up, folks. Whammy weenie. All right, so I'm bringing it up because I got this on Twitter. Thank you very much. On X, at Sal Sports, we got at Saber Scalpel. Big follower up in Canada. Thank you very much. Says, I remember that era you talked about, Sal. It was so bad. The Chamber of Commerce, I think, paid for the Talkin' Proud commercial to try and win hearts back to Buffalo. And that was it. Right there. Thank you. That's right. That's getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. I love that. Thank you for reminding me. And that's why we just played it. Thank you, Joe, for finding that. Buffalo, Talkin' Proud, a Forgotten Buffalo retro rewind. You can find that on YouTube, by the way, at Forgotten Buffalo Tour. And I love that website because there's so much cool stuff. I go back and watch a lot of that old stuff. Reminds me of my youth. We are going to get David Feronis on here in just a little while. Let's get to your phone calls, or at least a phone call. And if you want to jump on now and wait through David, I will get to your phone calls after him because we have some open phone lines. Bills, Dolphins memories inside Highmark Stadium. Let's get to Mike in Rochester. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Phil, how we doing?
Good, thanks.
Love your show.
Thanks.
I wanted to mention my biggest memories from Miami games. Took my daughter to her first game, Josh's rookie year. The last game of the season when they played Miami and Josh went off with, I don't know, 5 touchdowns or whatever it was. So that was a great game.
Yep.
And also when I was in high school, I was lucky enough to I was the mascot for the high school, and I was able to go with the marching band on the field because they were performing at halftime. So we got to go on the field, and we were playing Miami, and it was pregame, and Shula was walking out, and I kind of waved to him in my mascot costume, and he waved back at me. So it was kind of a big thing, and I shook Bernie Kosar's hand when he was with Miami. So it was just some old memories, but things I wanted to mention.
Hey, you know what? Those are nice memories. Those are good memories, and I'm glad that you brought up that part of the competitive part of it with some of those guys. Look, I mean, I hated Dan Marino like people did Tom Brady here for being the enemy and so great, right? But honestly, like, I always respected the hell. And, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, folks. You know this. I've said this on the radio. I'm like the only guy here in Buffalo on radio who's willing to admit it, that I actually really, really enjoyed and respected Tom Brady's career. I know, lots of stuff there. Not that I was rooting for him to beat the Bills ever. That sucked. But same thing with Marino. I mean, Dan Marino, I mean, fantastic, right? He was just so, so good. And he's also a tale, you know, people say all the time about how, well, Josh Allen, and they haven't gotten to a Super Bowl. Marino went to a Super Bowl early on in his career. Went to one. That was it. Never went back. As great as he was, Dan Marino, never went back to a Super Bowl, let alone win one. You know, I mean, it's just, it's hard to get there. It's hard to do it. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Getting your memories here. Bills, Dolphins. final game ever between the two at Highmark Stadium, unless, of course, the Dolphins are to turn it around, make the playoffs, and come back to Buffalo. But the way that they would do that probably would mean they'd have to win this game. I mean, they start 0-3. It's still possible. Of course, mathematically, there'd still be 14 games left. But, I mean, when you think about their path, if they were to do it, it probably would mean having to win here in Buffalo this week in Orchard Park. And, man, if that were to happen, you know what's funny? Like, the last few days, I just said it, right? It is a rivalry. It's been here for a long time. Anything can happen. We know that. But, man, the last few days, the more I've looked at the Dolphins, I'm like, holy cow, there's just it. Everything is going wrong there. We have been there at the worst of the worst of the drought, kind of been there. That's why you got to take care of business tomorrow and do not let them get off the mat at all. Steve in Buffalo. What's up, Steve?
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, I was just driving and I was listening to your monologue and what you were saying about what beating Miami means to you. And I just wanted to tell you, I thought it was awesome radio. Really great. Really, really great. I mean, so good that I think you should save it and replay it. So I just wanted to compliment you on it. That was all.
Very, very nice words from you, Steve. Thank you very much. I'm at the age now where I really bridge the gap, I think, between a lot of the OGs, right? The old school Bills fans who were there from the beginning for a long time, who say I've been a season ticket holder for 60 years, to a lot of you who are younger and don't know. And I enjoy, I love being a storyteller. I mean, I took a detour in my life from radio. I was a social studies teacher. I loved being in front of a classroom and telling stories and explaining things. And that's what I love to do on the radio. And if I can help you in any way understand that, help Joe here, Sneaky Joe, the younger people here at WGR, you know, Owen's got his dad, Bulldog, to tell him all about it too. I love doing that. And I'm of that age where I can bridge the gap here between the two. And I love sharing that part of it. And it means a lot. It means a lot to a lot of people listening right now. This game, this team, beating that team in that helmet. Randy in Niagara Falls. Hi, Randy. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Just wanted to talk real quick. So I was born in 93. I came up, you know, my first game, I was 7 in 2000. So my whole childhood was through the mud, as a lot of us. But I remember mostly the 2002 December Dolphins were here. And it was a great game, tight game, right up until about third quarter. I think Ricky Williams had us for 250 that game. And then they got a little windier, the breeze started picking up, the snow started coming in, the Bills just took it to the next level. I think I remember Ray Lucas even crying on the sidelines at the end of the game, and it was just it was the epitome of Miami-Buffalo, then the wind shifting, the cold coming, and then they just crumbling. Bills took over. Great season out of the drought years. Peerless Price, Eric Mould's going off. But just wanted to remember that, and appreciate you having me.
You got it, man. You know, I remember the Miami game down there, the playoff game Eric Mould's went off, right? But that's in Miami. Talking about memories here inside this stadium, David Ferronis is going to give us a call back right now, and he's going to be ready to jump on. But let's get to Brandon in Lancaster first. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Sal. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
So first off, I want to say thank you because you've picked our fantasy football league for a couple of years for the order here. But one name that I want to say that sends a shiver down some Miami fans here is Fad Lewis in that 2013 season. I think it was the last game of the season. Miami needed to win and then get some help to get into the playoffs. And Fad Lewis comes in, and I think we shut him out. It was like 19-0 or something like that. But that game was, for me, like one of my favorite drought games, having a couple of friends who are Miami fans. It was incredible just to kind of go watch them, like feel like they were on top of the world with EJ going out, Fad coming in, and watching that game. And it was cold. It was rainy, and like the rain turned to like a sleet at one point, and everything was frozen, but it was electric.
You were close. Good memory. 19-0, the final score. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, for sure. Thad Lewis, 15 of 25, 183 yards. Ryan Tannehill, 10 of 27 for 82 yards. Matt Moore came in that game as well. Thanks a lot, Brandon. I appreciate that. And yeah, no doubt. Appreciate you guys asking me to. They ordered a cameo for me to draw their draft order for fantasy football. I did a lot of those this year. It was very cool. All right, we're going to go to the Western Hotline right now. David Ferronis, he covers the Miami Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel down in Miami. David, welcome in to WGR Sports Radio 550. It's Sal Capaccio. I just want to make sure, am I saying your last name right, Ferronis?
Yeah, that's perfect. How you doing, Sal?
Good. Thanks for joining us here today. I know it's a short week, a lot going on down in Miami. I am reliving right now Dolphins-Bills memories inside Highmark Stadium because, David, this is the last game, unless Miami were to make the playoffs, of course, and come back in January. This is the last time the Dolphins will ever play inside this stadium, a historic rival, which means a lot to Bills fans and, of course, inside this stadium going over 50 years now.
Yeah. Oh, wait. You think it's the last game? You're not counting on the AFC Championship going back to Highmark Stadium and beating the Dolphins and the Bills?
Anything can happen, man. Anything can happen. The Bills one time did start 0-4 and make the playoffs, but I would probably bet on this is the last time we're going to see the Miami Dolphins up here in Buffalo. And I know it's different in Miami. I get it. Like, I get the way the rivalry is looked at, if you want to call it that. But here in Buffalo, it means a lot. And I'll just give you a little background. I'll explain. Most Bills fans in Buffalo here, if you're of a certain generation, it's the Patriots, the Patriots, the Patriots because of Brady and Belichick. If you're of my age, I'm 52 now, and you grew up in the 80s, it's the Dolphins, and it will never be eclipsed by any team because the Dolphins beat the Bills 20 straight times in the 1970s, and we never got that taste out of our mouth here in Buffalo.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I'm more of the generation the same way in the AFC East, and myself growing up in Miami, it would be Patriots, Patriots, Patriots.
Yeah.
For most of my football consciousness, it's been the Patriots dominated the AFC East. And then now as I've grown up and I'm a reporter and I cover the Dolphins, then, yeah, now it's the Bills. The Bills are every year. And memories for myself, because now I visit every year, it would definitely be the snow game, the snowballs coming down. Obviously, last year, 61-yard field goal to win it, Tyler Bass.
Right.
Jordan Poyer committing the penalty down the field as that was a homecoming game for him, his 1 year with the Dolphins. So obviously there was a lot going on there. The playoff game later in that 2022 season,
yep.
Skylar Thompson, who's struggling mightily, he completes 40% of passes, but somehow that game is close at the end, and the Dolphins actually have some of the same.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Same issue still popping up today is communication from the sideline, getting plays in, and have the play clock winding down in the waning moments of that playoff game. And boy, it's happening just last Sunday, a few days ago, was a key moment. They're subbing personnel packages in on a key fourth down. They don't have the play call in a timely fashion, and it just looks chaotic. And they have to snap the ball with the play clock at zero, and Tua throws an interception on a fourth and nine on the penultimate drive. So it's some of why a lot of storylines going on right now with Mike McDaniel are popping up going into this Thursday night game with him on a very hot seat.
All right, let's talk more about that here. First of all, I do want to say, I know last year when you were here, I'm sure then you saw the new stadium coming out of the ground. Wait till you see it when you get here to later today, tomorrow. It's pretty unbelievable, actually, the progress. And, of course, this is the last year inside Highmark Stadium. But make sure you check that out. It's going to be great weather, and you can see that right across the street from the current Highmark Stadium. All right, so I guess the best way for me to ask this is very open-ended, David. How bad is it right now in Miami?
It's to the point where it is in the realm of possibility that Mike McDaniel could lose his job by Friday morning if the Bills flat-out embarrass the Dolphins on a short week in a primetime setting with the Dolphins falling to 0-3, and it's a convincing landslide victory for Buffalo. I see it as truly possible, which would be a remarkable anomaly as far as how early it could happen in a season. I was looking it up. The last time a coach was fired after three games was Bruce Coslett with the 2000 Cincinnati Bengals. I know there's been other examples of four games with Joe Philbin for the Dolphins being one of them more recently, but The thing about it is I feel every time the Dolphins go into Buffalo with no one expecting them to have a chance, which like 2022 when mm-hmm. that snow game when they were coming off back-to-back losses on the West Coast to the Niners and the Chargers and everyone was down on them on that losing streak. The playoff game with Skylar Thompson last year, the game where they're going in 2-5. Yeah, I feel like every time if those are the close games, and it's when the Dolphins go into Buffalo off a 70-20 win against the Broncos that they go and get smacked 48-20 the next week on the trip over there. So that's the one thing I keep thinking in my head, like they somehow always get up for this game when everything is against them. But if it's a game where they get embarrassed on primetime on a national setting, then it could be done for Mike McDaniel as a Friday morning.
What about Chris Greer? He's been at his job longer than Brandon Bean has been at his job here in Buffalo, and yet really a couple playoff appearances with losses to show for it, and that's about it. What about his particular situation?
Yeah, he's actually the longest tenured, active tenured GM without a playoff win. So that's telling as far as how much he's been able to survive and keep his job. And now, when he started as GM, he wasn't the top franchise decision maker. Mike Tannenbaum was still in his role, so he had the title of GM, but he wasn't the top guy. So then that kind of started for him with the rebuild in 2019. And then, you know, he's given the benefit of that rebuild. You need time to rebuild, and they went through the Brian Flores years. Then as they transitioned, once Mike McDaniel came in, that was a ready-to-win roster. They were going all in. It was trading for Tyreek Hill in the offseason. It was signing Teron Armstead for a high-priced free agent deal. It was trading for Bradley Chubb at the trade deadline, bringing Jalen Ramsey the next offseason. All these moves to truly invest and win in the moment. And then all you have to show for it is a couple of wild card appearances and even one year blowing it when the Dolphins had a 3-game lead with 5 weeks remaining and they blow it at home to these Buffalo Bills in week 18 on Sunday Night Football. So it's just been downhill since then, not even making a playoff appearance 2024, huge downer. They then paid Tua Tagovailoa. Now you can't throw money at your problems the same way. Now you have to build through the draft again. So it's just you don't see GMs go that early in a season. So I think it would be the head coach first. But I'm of the mindset that the Dolphins need a clean slate. It needs to be both of them. They're tied at the hip. So both of them just start brand new GM, new head coach, if it all does indeed go awry.
We'll see what happens with them going forward off the field. But what about on the field? Why are they 0-2? What hasn't gone right? You go back to Indy, 33-8. It's just a rate from the beginning. They kind of were just net competitive in that game. And then a competitive game last week that doesn't go their way at the end. And you talked about some of the communication issues. But what about on the field? What have been the issues through 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's actually surprising that the defense led by Anthony Weaver hasn't gotten stops. They actually had a run of 13 consecutive series where the opponent came away with points going back to the finale of last season because the Colts scored on every possession in week one. And then the Patriots started by scoring on their first three long drives in Sunday's game. So it's been surprising that Anthony Weaver hasn't had the defense running a little bit better. He's got a pass rush this year, but still that secondary is questionable. They were signing guys so late in the process. Their two starting cornerbacks right now are Jack Jones, who was signed early on in training camp, about a week into training camp. And then on the other side, Rasul Douglas right now, who a former Bill, who he signed 2 weeks before the season started. So it's just you're piecing this together very last minute with the expectation that you could have your pass rush make things easier for the secondary. That hasn't happened yet. Zach Seeler up front hasn't been impactful as he has been in years past. They're trying to put some rookies on the defensive line around him that still need some time to develop, a first-round pick, and Kenneth Grant, some other guys they took later in the draft. So that side of it isn't going. And then offensively, hey, so was turning the ball over. He started last week with almost another interception that did get negated due to offsetting penalties. But then he does throw an interception later on. He's taking sacks. The right side of the offensive line is banged up with right guard now Keon Smith replacing James Daniels, their free agent signing, and Larry Borum at right tackle in for the injured Austin Jackson. So that's his blind side as a left-handed thrower. and you have a replacement there, along with an inexperienced left side of the line. Patrick Paul's a first-year starter in year two, and Jonas Savainaya is a rookie who has really struggled at left guard. So he doesn't have the protection, and he's making mistakes. Tua is back there with not much time and not really reading it once his first read is taken away from him.
What's the reaction of what the banner that went over the stadium on the plane about firing McDaniel and Chris Greer?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of fans right now are fed up with it. They were kind of teased with this roster, this win now approach of the past 2 years, where they were close to, they were tasting some success for the first time since. But you got to go back to the early 2000s. Those teams, you know, coming off the Marino years, the defenses they had with Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor and the corners of Sam Madison, Patrick Surtain. It was kind of, they were making the playoffs for the first time since then, trying to take that next step, and then it never happened. And I think Greer was getting the benefit of the doubt up to that point, but still fans were just on edge because they know how long he's had his seat there without producing any lengthy playoff run. And Mike McDaniel, he inherited a roster that was ready to win now, and hasn't produced since. I mean, I look at – he was preceded by Brian Flores, who with much, much less talent on the roster, had a 9-8 season in 2021 when he got fired. And in 2020, the Dolphins were 10-6. And those rosters pale in comparison to what the Dolphins had in 22 and 23. And Mike McDaniel, while he did make playoff appearances, it was 9-8 again in 22, just sneaking into the playoffs. And 23, yes, they got in, but they blew that three-game lead in the division down the final stretch. And then you end up having to go to Kansas City in the fourth coldest game in NFL history, and you get beat by the eventual Super Bowl champions that year in the Chiefs. So, and then it's just been worse than that since.
I remember that year, and when you said the game in Sunday night in Miami, but it really started with that Tennessee loss, that night game, Tennessee loss, right? The one-pointer. That was really when it started.
Right, right. And I'll tell you, fans down here, they almost wanted to, some of them, a fraction of the fan base, wanted to lose the Week 18 game to not have to see Buffalo 2 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go back, if they would have won the Tennessee game like they should have, then they would have had the division without having to face the Bills in a 2-7 matchup, because then the Bills would have been a different wild card seed. So that was really the one where you would then, like the Bills ended up having, they would have had the Steelers, who weren't that strong, just sneaking into the playoffs as the wild card matchup in a 2-7 matchup, as opposed to the much more difficult back-to-back weeks facing Buffalo. But I was against all the fans who said that. You got to win the division. You can't let the Bills erase a three-game lead with 5 weeks remaining on you, and then think you're going into Kansas City and winning a playoff game. I couldn't understand the ones that were of that mindset.
Yeah, Bills looking to go three games up in Miami early in the season. Now here, 0-2 Miami coming to 2-0 Buffalo. Probably the final time for the Dolphins ever at Highmark Stadium. David Ferones, follow him on X. He is at David, is it, let me just get, Ferones underscore, there you go. David Ferones underscore, F-U-R-O-N-E-S. And doing a great job. And by the way, safe travels here to Buffalo. Check out and you'll see it on your way in. It's easy to see. It's right there. The new stadium. Yeah. And grab some chicken wings while you're here, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. I always do that. And I'm going to look forward to comparing last year's photo to this year's.
All right. You got it, man. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you doing this today. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Sounds good.
All right. You got it. David Ferones right there on the West Her Hotline. John says he's a younger fan. What does that do for you here in this matchup, John? John, you're on the air. Go ahead, buddy.
No? Hello?
Yep, you're on the air.
Zach, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sorry. We just got the name wrong. My apologies. Joe must have just misheard you. Go ahead.
Hey, big fan of yourself. You know, I was born into the drought, unfortunately. You know, born in 2000, so I didn't really get to see a whole lot of good Bills football for the better part of my life. So, like, you know, to me, the Dolphins, even though I don't like them, it's really been more the last few years, and it's really not the team as much as the fans. So now when the Bills kind of beat up on the Dolphins, it's been really enjoyable to kind of see their fans, you know, implode on Twitter. I see you interact with them a lot, and they say, you know, some stupid things. So I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I've experienced all the fan bases and, you know, the interactions. They can be annoying because they're just like, they're full of hope and promise, and that's okay. Nothing wrong with that when you're a fan. They're not like super, like there's a lot of fan bases that just get, they're just angry people, right? And mad, and you can go into that. But if that's what it is for you, and believe me though, I did live in Florida, and that can get like that with the Bills and the Dolphins and the Dolphins fans coming at the Bills for sure. So, hey, I get it. If it's not just the team, it's the fan base for anybody when it comes to stuff like that. Patrick Hammer is going to join us for a weather game day, game night look after this timeout here on a, well, we'll call it a Buffalo Football Wednesday because the Bills are playing the Miami Dolphins on a Thursday night here in Orchard Park. Pat Hammer after this timeout on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.